in the Communist Manifesto, in so many words, it says, in order to dismantle the family, we must dismantle God, their God first.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations That Matter with me, your host, Alex Newman, senior editor at The New American. It's wonderful to have you with us. Joined today by a very special guest. Her name is Monica Klein. She is a former comprehensive sex educator and a Title X family planning training manager. She was trained by the LGBT community and by Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the country, funded, of course, by your tax dollars. Also, by the way, a lobbying powerhouse. Maybe we'll have some time to talk to Monica about that. Her career in HIV prevention education, comprehensive sex education, we call it CSE, Title X training management, lasted over a decade. So she is very experienced. She knows exactly what she speaks of. But she came to find out that her mentors, serving the marginalized, meeting them where they're at, and then just leaving them there. She was unhappy with that. And so she left. She became a Christian, and her personal story is absolutely fascinating. She started questioning this CSE stuff and the impact on the family. Monica, it's an honor to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Walk us through kind of your experience. What were you teaching children? How were you trained? And what was it that finally caused you to say, wait a minute here, this is not right?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's always important to say, because so many people are easily deceived today about comprehensive sex education, that I went into comprehensive sex education thinking that I was truly helping people. And when I was working with adults, eventually at this gay organization that I was working at, they said, you need to learn how to do this with children, to how to teach sex to children, sex education and safer sex practices. And that's when they sent me over to Planned Parenthood. And boy, Alex, that's I really learned the just, and at the time I didn't realize it because I trusted the experts, but I really started to, it's really what they were teaching me was just this objectification and dehumanization of our children. They have a very distorted view of children, believing that they have sexual rights from birth, that children have sexual rights to sexual pleasure. And that is exactly what Planned Parenthood was teaching me. They changed the words a little bit. They make it sound like it's compassionate. They make it sound like we're helping kids who have parents who are neglectful. And so they do a really good job of convincing adults and children that this is actually healthy education. But really what it's doing is it's drawing both children and adults into high-risk sexual activity that just compromises their body, their minds, and their spirits.
Talk to us about how that process works. I mean, how do these lessons get kids involved in sexual activity? I mean, I remember my experience as a kid, but just explain kind of what is it that these children are taught nowadays that causes them to want to get involved in sexual activity before marriage, before the appropriate time?
Yeah, well, what they do is that they have amazing education and counseling skills. These educators go in, and the first thing they're going to do is build a rapport with children, make sure that these children believe that they are the trusted adults in their lives. And that they can share with them all the things that they're afraid to share with their parents, all the questions that they're afraid to ask their parents. This educator that's in front of them, the authority figure, the expert, can now replace the parent and teach them the things that they're afraid to ask their parents about. So they build that rapport with them. Now, one of the things that Planned Parenthood taught me, which is still the exact same thing that they're doing today, is that they know they have to break down the inhibitions of children. So instead of going right into talking about sex, they start exposing them to terminology like an icebreaker, where they get them to talk about or to shout out all the slang terms of body parts and sex and things like that. And so that's really the beginning of reducing their inhibitions, helping them to start change their attitudes and their beliefs about sexual intimacy, changing it so that it's not about marriage or a commitment, but instead that it's all about pleasure and really objectification. And that's the beginning. And that's really what my instructor told me, is like, we have to break down their inhibitions so that you can actually introduce them to sexual activity.
Yeah. So what was it, Monica, that caused you to start wondering whether what you were doing was right? Because, I mean, you said, you know, you thought you were doing well, and I'm sure that's the case for the vast majority of sex educators. They think they're going in there and they're helping these kids. We don't want STDs to spread. We don't want, illegitimate or what do you call them now? Unwanted pregnancies. What was it that caused you to start wondering whether this was appropriate?
You know, it was several things, but I think some of the most prominent things are just what the teenagers were telling me, kids as young as 13, where really during these activities or during, you know, sex education courses, they were really admitting that they felt that this was the expectation, that they had to be involved in every type of sexual activity. And so when they started asking me questions on how to improve their activities, how, you know, they were really revealing to me that they didn't like the activities that they were involved in. So they were trying to ask me how to improve them so that they might like it. And that was that was like one of the key times where I realized these kids think that they have to do this. I let them know they didn't have to do anything. And that, I mean, this one little girl raised her hand and said, "Ma'am, no one's ever told us that. No one has ever told us that we don't have to be sexually active." So that was number one. Number two, it was Planned Parenthood themselves admitting to me that they didn't believe girls who were having sex with adult males were being trafficked or that it was statutory rape. They believed that these girls were consenting to sex with adults and that it was their right to do that. And Planned Parenthood said that they would support them. So they refused to identify victims of human trafficking because they didn't view them that way. And they were going to continue to enable, you know, these adults who were taking advantage of young girls.
Yeah. And as I've been reading through Planned Parenthood literature, that theme comes up over and over again. The idea that children have sexual rights and that everybody's bound to respect these sexual rights and that they get to, as long as they consent, then anything goes. And I mean, by anything, I'm actually talking about adult activities with children. This is, of course, a crime in every one of our states. And yet Planned Parenthood is encouraging this, is legitimizing this. Why isn't anything happening, Monica? Where are law enforcement authorities? Where are sheriff's offices? Where are local prosecutors, state attorneys general investigating these things?
You know, that's a really good question, and it still hasn't been answered. I've done these presentations in front of sheriffs in my community. We've had parents calling their local FBI offices in their communities about this kind of sex education in the schools. And their response to us is that there's nothing that they can do. They don't tell us why they can't do anything about it, but they refuse to act. But all the while, we're seeing that various states, especially California, passing these laws to reduce the age of consent so that it becomes easier for adults to have sexual activity with minors. In California, an adult can have even, you know, anal sex with a child at the young age of 14 and not be prosecuted and not be added to any kind of registry that they are a pedophile. And we're seeing that this is something that parents need to be looking at in their states, that they're attempting to reduce the age of consent, the age in which a child can consent to sex. This is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, it is. And it's coming very, very rapidly. A mother in California sent me a video where she confronted an assistant superintendent of curriculum. Why are you teaching my kids pedophilia? Why are you teaching them about adults having sex with kids? Well, it's very important. Different sexual orientations have existed in throughout history. Truly grotesque. Monica, I want to ask, we've only got a couple minutes before the break, but you know, one of the things that I met another sex educator. I was out on a speaking tour, and she a similar experience. She was teaching this stuff. She believed it was good. She became a Christian and realized how horrible it was. She gave me these books, truly incredible, by Melvin Anschel, a doctor. He worked on a commission that the DOJ put together on pornography and obscenity. And one of the things he says is that especially young girls are really, really reluctant. They have kind of a natural inhibition to participate in these types of things. And yet the sex education classes make them feel like it's obligatory. You touched on that a little bit, but go into a little bit more depth. How do they get these young girls to start thinking that they have to basically have sexual activity, sexual encounters with boys before they're married?
You know, a lot of it is just the way that education is provided. You know, they were taking me into public schools or maybe it's a community center, and it's just stated very matter of fact. You know, it's something like, I bet you guys are noticing, you know, boys now, or you're interested in romantic activities now, and you're getting crushes. And so then they just slowly start working that into sexual activity, oral, anal, vaginal. They talk about all of it. They introduce them to every possible form of sexual activity. And this normalizes it for the girls. They start to think, well, I guess this is what's expected. It's no longer about holding hands or going to a movie anymore. Now it's gone to the next level.
Yep. And one of the things that Dr. Anshel writes in here is that this is just devastating for children, for little girls, for their whole lives. It's going to affect their marriages, their future families. We're going to go to break in just a moment, folks. And when we get back on the other side, we're going to talk to Monica Klein some more, especially about what is the real agenda? Why are these people so insistent on sexualizing our children in public schools? So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Conversations That Matter with Monica Klein.
They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes.
Here's the news, Dad.
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.
Monica, I want to ask you about the deeper agenda here. I mean, you know, I think every normal person has kind of a repulsion at the idea of children being sexualized. But what is the motivation, do you think, behind, you know, not the average sex educator, people like you who think they're helping these kids? What is the motivation behind the people at the top, right? The CECUS people, the Alfred Kinsey's, the government people that are funding all this. What do they really want?
Oh, goodness. You know, as I did my research afterwards, wondering how did this happen? How was I deceived? And what's the end goal? And what I came to realize, actually, I read the Communist Manifesto. And when I read the Communist Manifesto, all of a sudden, it all made a lot of sense to me. It's all about ending the privatization of business, the privatization of land ownership or any ownership. And in the end of that, I also realized it was the end of the private family. And in the Communist Manifesto, in so many words, it says, in order to dismantle the family, we must dismantle God, their God first. And so it's really about taking all of that down and dismantling the family. So they are against the traditional family. We saw Black Lives Matters talking about that. They pulled it off their website. Perhaps it's back on through their website. They want to destroy the nuclear family. They want to get rid of mom, biological mom, dad, and children. We know that that's order of family, the husband, the wife, and the children, with the children directly underneath the parents, not over to the side, like an arm where the government can intervene. No, they're directly underneath the authority of their parents. Whether it's sex education, or even our education system today, is all about removing the parent and having the state over the child. And that's what I'm seeing over and over again, not just in sex education, but we can see it in social emotional learning. You can see it in the government's plan with the whole school, whole community, whole child initiative, which is really where the school now provides everything for the child and the parent doesn't need to be a part of that. You go to the CC website and look at that program. They have a virtual school where they have a doctor's office, they have a mental health person, they have a dental office, they have the children's medical records, they're giving them free lunches now. The only thing that's missing, Alex, is a dormitory for the kids. That's the only thing that's missing. They want to diminish, they're demonizing, and they want to diminish the family, dismantling it completely.
Yeah, it's so terrifying, Monica, and yet that is exactly what I found in my research as well, completely independent. I was looking at the old Hungarian Soviet dictatorship and this Georgi Lukacs, who was so obsessed with sexualizing the children. And it wasn't just about sexualizing the kids. It was about Marxism. It was about tearing down the old culture, the old values, the old religion, and replacing it with something new by dislodging these children from the authority of their parents. Same thing that was going on in Berlin, 100 years ago. They were talking about this not as just a means to sexualize children, but as a means to dismantle the family. Monica, I also want to talk about the lifelong consequences. These two books here that I read, again, a sex educator in Kansas City gave me these. What's Wrong with Sex Education? And Killers of Children, a Psychoanalytic Look at Sex Education. He really makes the case, this doctor here, who again served in a number of federal commissions, very prestigious doctor. He said that these getting children involved in sexual activity early really produces lifelong trauma, lifelong consequences that's going to affect the future marriages of these children, assuming they get married. It's going to affect their relationship with their children, with their future spouse, and that's going to be something that's going to haunt them for the rest of their lives. Talk a little bit about the long-term damage, not just the STDs and the abortions that result from this, but the psychological problems.
I can even talk about that personally. When I was teaching this, I was also living the very same philosophy. And what happens in the mind of a person that's going through this is that because this education is so dehumanizing, you're treating yourself and others like an object. And then it becomes a natural next step to dehumanize the preborn child. So now we're killing off our own children, our very own blood. And that is traumatizing. The fact that we are objectifying ourselves by being promiscuous is also psychologically, emotionally, spiritually damaging. I will tell you, Alex, that there were moments where I would get depressed and down about the things that I was involved in. And it was really Planned Parenthood's voice that would come in and say, yeah, but you're an empowered woman. You're strong. You don't need to have emotions. You can, you know, and all of it was to demonize men as well. It's like, you can use men just like men use women. And so it was like this very dark, distorted world that was pitting men and women against each other in every way possible. And it was keeping, it keeps people in depression. And when I started realizing what this education was truly doing to both adults and children, I realized that the very communities that we were serving, the marginalized population, people living in poverty, we were keeping them there. We were keeping them impoverished, not only financially, but emotionally and spiritually. These programs going into these communities, evidence-based interventions, they have one goal. Supposedly the one goal is to use condoms consistently. That's it. It doesn't address the person. It doesn't address the heart or the mind of the person at all. They don't care. I had women coming in who were, working as prostitutes, and they would tell me, I'm not using condoms because I get more money not to. If I have one child, I get food stamps. If I get two children, I get a place to live. And so basically for them, these evidence-based interventions were a joke to them. They were just there for the incentives that the government was giving them. And all the while, we're just watching these communities die off in front of us. And the government is doing that. And that was one of the main reasons that I left, is that realization that in my personal story as well, is that these evidence-based interventions meet people where they're at. So it's true. Do they judge people for living the way they are, making the choices that they're making? No, they don't. But they also just leave them there. Completely different than spiritually. Let's say when God intervened in my life, he met me right where I was at. He wasn't treating me terribly. He didn't shame me. He met me where I was at, but he said, I have something better for you. And that's what we need, Alex, not only for our own children, but for our country and even across the globe, because Planned Parenthood is all over with the world, you know, with UNESCO and the World Health Organization. They're spreading this all over the globe, destroying individuals, families, and whole communities everywhere. We need to change this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, the Planned Parenthood Federation, the international one, they even got exposed in congressional testimony working with the UN Population Fund on China's one child policy, forced abortions. I mean, it's just barbaric beyond anything that people can imagine. Monica, we're almost out of time. I do want to tell people you have a wonderful podcast. It's the Monica Klein Show. You were also featured recently in a wonderful documentary, The Mind Polluters. I was in that as well. I can't recommend it highly enough. The Washington Compost, I saw, just attacked us recently for that. So a big badge of honor. Monica, we're down to less than 2 minutes, but I want to ask you a question that I think is the most important of all of these. What do parents do to protect their children from this? And also talk for a minute, you touched on it, but the little girl, the little boy that got sucked into this and started living this lifestyle, how do you come out of that? After you've committed an abortion, you've had sex with a bunch of people, how do you get out of that and get your life back on track?
Yeah, you know, I think for parents, the way you can help your child come out of that is to have real conversations with your kids about these topics. They might roll their eyes, they might be uncomfortable, but that's okay. You know, a parent's voice must be stronger in their child's life, no matter what the topic, than the voice of the world. It is so important that parents, you know, this is the key. Parents are the key. There's a reason why Planned Parenthood is glomming on to the word parenthood, and all of this is because they know that parents are the key. And so mom and dads, you are equipped to to do this with your kids, to have these conversations and to lead them effectively, but you need to take action. You need to start asking questions and you need to start listening and speaking truth into your children's lives. And it needs to be continual. It's not a talk. It's not the talk. It is a conversation that you have with your children, building trust and confidence within your family, your entire lives.
Amen. Monica, what's the best way to follow your work? Obviously, the Monica Klein Show. How can people find that? And then are you on any of the social media things? Can people follow you there?
Yes, they can find me on Instagram, Monica Leal Klein, or you can go to monicaklein.com, where you can find my podcasts and all my social media handles as well.
Fantastic. Monica Klein, thank you so much for all that you're doing to expose this horror. Thank you for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it. Folks, that was Monica Klein, former sex educator. Thanks for joining us here on Conversations That Matter. I'm Alex Newman. Till next time, God bless you all.